thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain.
Everywhere, everything is no good. Everybody's walking around going, this is no good, this won't do, everything is gone wrong.
You're missing a couple of strings on this bass guitar. Is that how you learned it, and you never bothered to buy two new ones, or is there a plan?
After 2 years, I mean, what's the point spending money in a lot of it? It's like 2 years enough. It's adequate. Anybody can play this bass.
Garage band. Do you think you're still a garage band now?
No, definitely we've progressed to a basement band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got inside the house now.
We're inside the house now.
Sitting in a van all day long.
That part's not fun.
That part is not the most fun.
Does it smell in the van?
It smells in the van.
Oh, I like it when it smells. Is it dirty in the van?
It's dirty in the van.
Oh, I like it when it's dirty.
I think that most music probably is in a sense, or it's sort of an electronic thing or a mathematical thing, and that all exists in the molecular structure of the universe.
Here we go.
You're tuned into Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM. I'm your host Dave, joined with Adam, and we're here for a special episode on Joe Strummer Day this year.
That's right, depending when you're listening, this could be on Joe Strummer Day today on the 22nd. Of course, you may also be listening to this on a regular broadcast time on Saturday night, 7 till 9 o'clock. Either way, this special edition, we are celebrating the life and the legacy of a great singer, songwriter, and I'd argue poet, Shane McGowan. Best known for his works in The Pogues, with The Nips, also with his work with his own band, The Popes. And as a lot of people are aware, Shane McGowan passed away not too long ago, just a few weeks back, and really just missing out from a few weeks of what would have been his birthday on December 25th. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to pay tribute to this incredible songwriter and singer by highlighting his career throughout his discography and just talking about why he's so significant.
Yes, and also we have a guest with us on the evening, this evening, whenever you're listening, who has been a guest on this show quite a few times and also on Radio Drill Time on CJMFM, Kieran.
Hello, thank you for having me again.
Yes, welcome back.
My pleasure. It's great to be back. I suppose what the reason you brought me back on was the day Shane passed away, I felt very compelled to sort of share on Instagram just what his music, his lyrics, what the Pogues meant to me, which I'm sure we'll cover extensively this evening. So Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. And maybe we can just start with saying how everyone kind of first got into the Pogues. You can start if you like.
Well, I sort of decided just to write down a few thoughts on Instagram, and what I said was I don't remember the first time I heard them. Mm-hmm. I'm from Irish Catholic background, and my mother's side of the family, her parents emigrated to Wales in the 50s, and growing up, like the music of like the Dubliners and the Pogues was just always in the background. I think it was like my fourth or fifth Christmas. I didn't realize that the sound of Shane's voice coming out of the speaker wasn't one of my uncle's. Like my sister had the exact same experience as well. So I don't know, it's always been there. And at the same time, there's always been this like looming kind of joke that Shane may or may die, like, way before his time. And growing up, heard that for like, you know, after you hear it for like 10 years, you're like, oh, okay, and then like 20 years pass. And then I think, like for me, like 30 years pass, and I thought, he's just never going to die, is he? You know, he's going to like outlive them all. And he lived to the age of 65. Which in like Shane McGowan years, let's face it, is like 302 or something. I'm no anthropologist, but they've just been a big part of my upbringing, formative years, and probably the reason I decided to study English literature was being such a fan of his lyrics and, as Adam says, his poetry. Mm-hmm. So that's my experience with him.
I'd say, again, I don't really specifically remember the first time. I just remember, I'm like, oh yeah, the Pogues are great. And I think I kind of found them just by kind of getting into music from the punk scene, although they base their music on Irish traditional music and Irish folk music. It had that energy of punk and stuff in it as well. I don't know. And it's obviously the lyrics had a big factor too. Just the way that Shane tells stories through songs, it's very, very literate, even though he comes off as not sometimes. Because everyone, you know, they know his role outside of playing live and stuff like that. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, well, I had a twofold experience myself. So at a very young, impressionable age, I definitely heard Fairy Tale of New York way too young.
Yeah.
And I was blown away. I did not realize a Christmas song could be so visceral and dark. He really reminded me of a lot of the darker noir narratives I was really getting into at that age, and just hearing this despondent tale of someone having a really dark Christmas really resonated with me. You know, getting away from the saccharine sort of idea of the season and actually understanding how it can be a very dark period, I related to, and I think for a lot of people who felt disinterred or just in general felt being outside the mainstream ideas of what just being a person, a quote-unquote productive person in society was, I mean, that music really resonated with me. I also remember, likewise, I entered into English literature for my studies, and someone told me, understanding that I really liked the works of Samuel Beckett, that I would love the Pogues. And it was interesting because I didn't really hear a connection at all. It was just like, is this just because like an Irish thing? Is it you're just kind of lumping them together? After that, like, even though I didn't think the recommendation really was that solid in terms of synergy, I'm so glad that turned me on. And it reconnected me because I realized, oh yes, they're the band that did that song I heard, Fairy Tale in New York. And they were more than just a one-hit wonder. The Pogues actually has this wonderful discography full of these very narrative stories. And again, talking about people who are at the very ends of their means, and that sort of desperation and darkness is always tempered with humor and humanity. And I think that's what makes these songs and Shane McGowan's lyrics and poetry so powerful. And we're going to hear that as we go in. We're going to start off the show actually going through a chronological list of his discography.
We're going to get started with some music from Shane's first band, the Nips, or Nipple Erectors. They went by both names, and they switched kind of halfway through. They had four singles, and then an album was put together compiling all their stuff, which was called Bops, Babes, Booze, and how do you say it?
Bover.
Bover, yes. And it collected all this stuff. And actually, they also had a live album as well in 1980, it looks like. We're going to get started with a song called King of the Bop, which kind of is a little indebted to rockabilly as well. And we're going to get started with that and some early Pogue songs, including the first Shane's first attempt at writing an Irish song. Streams of Whiskey. So let's get started. You're listening to Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM.
What do they call in a king of a bop? What do they call in a king of a bop? What but the road always went slack. And now another mile of go down to Chelsea. I'm walking on my feet, but I'll leave there on my back. Because I'm going, I am going, any which way the wind may be blowing. I am going, I am going, where streams of whiskey are flowing. Yeah!
and the Yanks, they were within. And the tinker boys, they hissed advice, but were with a pin. Then we turned and shook as we had a look in the room where the dead man lay. So big Jim Dwyer made his last trip to the shores where his father's lay. But 15 minutes later we had our first taste of whiskey. There was uncles giving lectures on ancient Irish history. The men all started telling jokes and the women they got frisky. By 5 o'clock in the evening every bastard there was pesky. Pretty well gone away, there's nothing left to say. Farewell to New York City boys, the Boston NPA. Took them out with a well-hung clout, and I often heard him say, I'm a free-born man of the USA. He fought the champ in Pittsburgh, and he slushed him to the ground. He took on Tiny Tartanella, and it only went one round. He never had no time for rights, for drink or dice or horse. But he never threw a fight when a fight was right, so they sent him to the war. Very well gone away, there's nothing left to say. West Launcher Joe and an Aaron Gomer loves in America. The calling of the rosary, Spanish wine from far away. I'm a free-born man of the USA. This morning on the harbor when I said goodbye, I always love you, I always did, I always will. Very well gone away, there's nothing left to say. But to say adieu to your eyes as blue as the water in the bay. To Big Jim Dwyer, a man of war who was often heard to say, I'm a free-born man of the USA. I'm a free-born man of the USA. I'm a free-born man of the USA.
Welcome back to Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM. We're playing music here in tribute to Shane McGowan. It's also Joe Strummer Day, and we're just celebrating the songwriter that had a close connection also with Joe Strummer. At one point, Joe even filled in on a tour in the 1991, playing with the Pogues. So we came back from a set of music there, ending off with something from an EP that came after the album Rum, Sodomy, and the Lash. What did we hear?
That was Body of an American, which is not only on the Poetry in Motion EP, that's a mouthful. There was an album version of that, I think, on Rum, Sodomy as well, but we went for the EP version there, which sounded fantastic.
And I think after this album, this was like the first album where I think Shane came into his own as writing songs, because in the first one it was a mix of originals and covers, right?
Yeah, it was quite 50-50 in a sense between traditional Irish songs, kind of like old standards, old numbers. A lot of them are actually sort of rearranged by the Pogues, which is quite amazing as well, because they have now almost become standard, the Pogues' own arrangements of those versions. But what I always found incredible about these albums is actually it's really difficult to know where Shane's lyrics and the sort of trad lyrics begin and end, which I just think is an amazing talent for someone who's like just trying their hand at writing an Irish song. It just sounds, you know, like it holds equal parity to these like classics, which I think is a testament to him as a writer as well.
And then before that, we heard a track from Rum Sodomy and The Lash. This was an album, of course, produced by Elvis Costello, as was the Pogetry in Motion EP. Pogetry in Motion actually came right after this album, and this was kind of like their first like album that they started doing really well on critically and also commercially.
Well, and as mentioned, this was also the first album where you really saw that parody in terms of the songwriting of the traditional songs and then McGowan's writing. And this one also was, as you mentioned, produced by Elvis Costello, which had an interesting backlash from the group because he famously entered into production because he mainly just had a crush on one of the members of the band, and he kind of stole her away from participating in the rest of the Pogues discography thereafter. Shane himself, he had a very hot and cold relationship with Costello for the rest of his life. It seemed like they made amends after a while, but then, you know, there were like barbs issued here and there. Regardless of whatever happened, I do know there was some mutual respect between the members in terms of who they appreciated, in terms of really just this relationship between Costello and McGowan. What I should mention, of course, famously, it was Kate, is it O'Riordan? O'Riordan, yeah, who was the member who Elvis Costello kind of took away from the Pogues, and then that changed their lineup thereafter for the rest of their discography. You know, with that said, though, an amazing album. The track we heard was A Pair of Brown Eyes, which is this incredible anti-war song where you just hear this very humorous but visceral depiction of bodily mutilation that occurs within the battlefields. And I think this is one of those great anti-war songs that never comes across as hackneyed or old hat. It is so visceral and so humane. It stands the test of time in a way where I don't really imagine there's too many other anti-war songs that I could say have had that legacy and that pedigree.
Yeah, it's a very powerful song. I actually think it is my favorite Pogue song. Line after line. Preparing for the show, I was trying to think of like what are my favorite Pogue songs, and then I got as pedantic to think I can't pick a favorite song. I can't even pick my favorite opening line in a song. But this song opens with "One summer evening, drunk to hell, I sat there nearly lifeless." Wow, amazing. You know, I could reel off so many others, but a pair of brown eyes for me, line after line, it's just like perfectly measured. It's almost like I'm iambic in the way it's written. It's multi-perspective. Not only, as you say, is it it's got the anti-war element to it, because there's a character, there's a veteran there, but there's also someone who is heartbroken, who is almost just as troubled and traumatized as the war veteran, and it kind of shifts perspective throughout the song. You know, there's the broken-hearted man, the war veteran. There's someone in the corner singing "Where the Water Lilies Grow." There's Johnny Cash on the jukebox. It's got everything. And I adore it. And then before that was Streams of Whiskey, which is a real like fan's favorite. I think after the Pogues reunited in 2001, that became their opener for the rest of their sets. And you know what an opening song that is too.
So that came from Red Roses For Me, which was their debut record. And one thing I do want to mention about the Pogues, being entrenched in the punk scene, there was this very false equivalency of breaking from tradition. Ironic considering that there was so much revisiting pre-Beatles rock and roll for the punk scene at that time. But, you know, there was this idea of getting rid of the old, the traditional, because that's hackneyed, that's old hat, and yet, what Shane McGowan basically did was say, no, this is relevant. It's just how do we imbue this with authenticity, and how do we make this relevant again? And he kind of took on this neo-traditionalist form of music making with the rest of the Pogues that, for me, had a certain, I guess you could say, influence over a lot of other musicians that were coming.